أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا من خزائن علومك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
But when you come to Islam as a religion, you could say it's divided into three different parts. And all the other subjects will be under these parts. Okay? Now, you look at Islam and you'll have fiqh. So this is the behavior of the human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down a sharia, a way in which we act. Which we're going to speak about this session is about fiqh, Islamic law. You have aqidah. This is the belief of the person. What you believe in, the questions surrounding your existence. What's your purpose as a human being? Why are you here? This is answerable here. What do you believe in? And here we have, you could say finally, akhlaq, where it's not specifically Islamic law, and I'll explain what the difference is between them in a moment, but it is the behavior of which is loved of you, the way in which the Prophet acts or the Imams act. What's the difference between the two? With fiqh, and fiqh in Arabic, tafaqqh, means understanding. And later on it became known in our terms as fiqh in terms of Islamic law. But it means knowledge, knowing Islamic law. That's what we know it as now. But generally it means understanding, tafaqqh. You have five different modes in Islamic law, if you will. So you have one, wajib, which is obligatory, something that you have to do. You have two, mustahab, something that you don't have to do, but it's loved of you to do. You have three, makruh, which is not haram, it's not forbidden, but it's not recommended that you do this thing. Allah does not like this thing. Four, you have what is haram, forbidden. And five, you have what's known as mubah. Mubah is when something is not haram, it's not wajib, it's not obligatory, you don't have to do it. And Allah didn't say you don't ever not have to do it. It's not loved, de-loved. It's like eating a sandwich. Unless the sandwich had something haram in it. Right? So doing anything, walking, is mubah. I'm walking. That there's no hukum on that. So the ruling is called a hukum. There's no hukum on this. This is the way in which we look at all our ahkam. And it's based on, this is how you understand fiqh. When it comes to all of laws, every law that we have is based on what they call, I'm just going to put this here, mahbubiyya, wa mabghudiyya. So it's either loved by Allah, or it's not loved by Allah, it's disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From this, you get all of these five. Here you have these, and here you have these. So something is either loved, and it becomes wajib or mustahab. And something is disliked by Allah, and it becomes disliked, as we know it here. These are the terms of fiqh. This is in terms of reality. So you have to divide it. This is like in the other realm. This is with Allah. Okay, the other realm. They call it alam al-thubut in usul. It's the other realm. Don't worry, it's not going to be all this confusing. This is just the general overview of fiqh in the beginning. This is reality, as in God, in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves something or does not love something. Then it comes down to the maraji'a, and then they look in the narrations, they look in the Qur'an, they look according to the scholars before. Remember we said, riwayat, al-Qur'an, al-aql, and ijma' to see if things are wajib, haram or not. Aql in terms of how, for example, I would only use my mind when it comes to fiqh. If something, salat is wajib, and salat cannot be done without wudu, then I know wudu is wajib through aql, right? I don't need anyone to come and tell me because it's in there. Salat is wajib ala al-wudu. So then I know that muqaddimat al-wajib, wajib. Whatever is wajib, if there's something I have to do for it, that's wajib as well. This is what the maraji' have come and done. They arrange into ahkam and rulings based on the reality of what Allah wants. But we don't know 100% what Allah wants. Only the imam knows. This is the reason why I'm doing this. Which means there's no marja, no one here that can tell you 100% this is what Allah wants. The most he can tell you is, this is my interpretation of Islamic law based on the sources, and this is the best we can do at the moment without our imam. This is what ijtihad is. So, which means the door is open. The door is open for new ahkam to arise. For something that may have been haram for a long period of time, now it becomes suddenly halal. How? It's not that haram and halal changed. It's that in certain times, things are haram, and other times, they may be halal. What do I mean? For example, depending on time and place. We have narrations that talk about chess. That chess is haram, for example. Right? The Imam Sadiq is saying, whoever plays chess, he is this and this and this. It's very bad. But now you look at Sayyid Khamenei, he says chess is okay. So what does that mean? Did he change the hukum from Imam Sadiq? No. In that time, chess was used as a tool for gambling. So it's the gambling tool that is haram. Now, chess is not used as a gambling tool. So Sayyid Khamenei would say this changes. Gambling tools are still haram, but chess isn't. This is how complicated it may be when the mujtahid comes to look into the sources. Initially, these are the rulings that he'll give you. And when something is mashhur, unanimous, everyone agrees on it for the last 1,400 years, we call that a darura min daruriyat al-deen. It's a pillar of the religion. That no one can say this is open to interpretation anymore. There are some things like salat, 5 times a day, is not open to interpretation. That is, everyone agrees upon it, darura. Hijab is a darura. When you say that hijab is not part of Islam, abtunkur darura, which means that this is, and according to some scholars in the past, it actually moves you out of the fold of Islam. Because they'd say that means that you're saying that the Prophet is lying. So if someone says that pork is halal, pork that we all know is haram, if you're saying it's halal, in the olden times, they would take that as someone that is saying that Rasulullah is lying. And so they disregard what he's saying, and he may even be evicted out of the fold of Islam, if you will. Because that means that you're saying the Prophet is a liar, and you cannot do that. That means he is not a prophet. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So I know that was a bit much, but just as an overview for you, yes. Yes.
Is it possible?
So this is the thing. Allah's opinion is here. This is the marja's opinion based on Allah's opinion. So if it's mubah, it means that Allah has no opinion on this thing. So Allah doesn't have an opinion on mubah. Mubah is the word we give to the opinion of the marja. You see? So the question is not correct. Allah does not have an opinion on mubah. These ahkam are based on Allah's opinion, based on what He loves and does not love. And then here, that's why with everything, the reason why I'm giving this is everything you do is based on what Allah loves and what He does not love. That's how the maraji' find. This is not irfan, by the way. This is what they use in fiqh. Irfan is a whole different thing. We use words of love. This is an irfan, which is why I chose to bring this up. Because when you use words like mahbubiyya in fiqh, that means like you're talking dry. Fiqh is the dry subject. But it's very interesting. But most people find it as dry because all it is yajib ala al-mukallaf to do this, this, this. You're like, why? It doesn't say why. Right? It says you must do a thing and that's it because Allah loves it. It doesn't even say Allah loves it. It's as if you should know this thing. You know? If something's wajib, Allah loves it. Something's makruh, Allah doesn't love it. Something's haram, Allah really doesn't like it. So this is why we follow these rules. Yes?
You keep on saying not like or dislike, you don't say hate. Is there a problem saying hate?
No, there's no problem saying hate, but I just try to not use that word with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
No, I'm just wondering if there's...
Now, of course, Allah hates certain things, but as much as I can, I would try to disassociate human emotions. Allah doesn't feel emotions.
I know that.
Right? But this is the way in which...
Is there a reason why you're not saying...
Yeah. No, I'm not a fan of it, that's all. That's just...
Personally?
Yeah, personally.
No,
there's... Because mabghudiyya, I wouldn't translate it as hate. You know?
Dislike.
Bughud...
I'm just wondering...
I mean, we see it as angry, but it's not angry either, you see? It's something that is like, it's a repellent. You know, you repel from this thing. So it doesn't translate into hate. Al-bughd. So, inshallah, Allah, yes, Ali?
It may be a too specific question, but yeah. Just to know the way of thinking.
Yeah.
We know that pork is haram, and even it's makur in the Quran, you can, the pork is haram, check.
Lahm al-khanzir?
Lahm al-khanzir. Yeah. Okay, but, and there's some scientific people that said that it's because maybe of a certain bacteria that cannot...
We don't know that. See, when it comes to these things, yeah. These are ilal. Okay. Ilal al-ahkam. Ilal means the causes of why a hukum is. The illah, the cause, is not always said or explained by the Imam or the Prophet. Sometimes it is. For example, wine, there's the illah for it. There's a cause. What does the Imam say? Wine is haram because of iskar. It makes you drunk. And anything that has the capability of making you drunk becomes haram. Which is why when we bring weed, and the Imam didn't say anything about weed, but we know weed's haram because it can make you drunk. So it comes under the same hukum as wine. However, when it comes to the pig, it's not described as why. But you can, if you want, ta'ammul, you can say perhaps this, perhaps that, especially when it comes to science, because science always changes. So if you come and say that, oh, this is the hukum because Allah saw this, and then it changes later on, you're going to look like you don't know what you're talking about, right? Because you brought in, that's not the reason. It could be the reason. It could be. But as long as the Imam didn't say why, we don't know the real reason why, but we can bring in reasons as to why it could be, and that's a good thing. You should bring in, it could be because of this, it could be because of this. It doesn't have to be, right? So sometimes people ask, for example, why do we pray Fajr twice? Two rak'ahs. And Dhuhr four. You could say, Allah understands we're tired at that time and He's taking it easy on us, so He just, right? But there's no real reason. It's just there. Which means there are some things in fuqh, this is an important word for you to know. Ta'abbud. There are some things, ta'abbudiyya. Ta'abbud. What? It's when the explanation is not given for the hukum, but you know the hukum is there from the imam. That's when you have to accept it. It's ta'abbud. And there are many issues that are ta'abbudiyya. But we try to explain it as much as we can. For example, today, we're going to talk about marriage now, with the half an hour that we have left. And there are issues that we have to take as ta'abbudiyya, but at the same time, I'm going to try to explain it in a spiritual framework so that it's not so dry. Right? Otherwise, it's just giving you rules, and I don't want this class to be about me just giving you rules. We want to try to explain these things. So a great question. Salallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Aqidah, we will talk about on Monday. So I'm not going to get into that. Akhlaq, we'll talk about that a little bit now. When it comes to the Sharia, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has what He loves and what He dislikes. And the Maraja give us those ahkam. At the same time, there are things that are not ahkam. They may come under mustahab. And they may come under makruh, but at the same time they may not. Like a smile is not necessarily mustahab. When you say mustahab, you're saying a hukum. This is why it's dangerous to use these five words. You can't use these five words, heck. You might mean, and this is a good thing, and you say this is mustahab. No, mustahab is used only for a hukum from Allah. So if there's no hukum like that, that means you're making up a hukum and that's haram. It's haram to give anyone any hukum if you don't know about it. If you find out that you've given it the wrong one, it's wajib on you to go back to that person and correct yourself. Which is why you find sometimes Sheikh will say, wait, let me find it for you next time. So they can make sure. They don't want to give you the wrong one. If they gave you the wrong one, they have to find you and correct it. So when it comes to... Yes?
Sir, but can you base your saying about this thing is mustahab on a rule? Like let's say, I don't know, like إدخال السرور لقلب المؤمن عبادة.
مثلاً. This is the thing. When you're using these terms now, you're using terms based on fuqaha. You can't use them. It's like using terminology of anything. The problem is, we use these terms just to, I know what you mean, just to show this is a good thing or a bad thing. However, these are words that are part of a specific terminology and field. And because we're all Muslims, we study a little bit, we don't understand the severity of using terminology that is not in that field. What we can say is something is jayid or ghair jayid. Something is loved by Allah. At the end of the day, it's back to mahbubiyya, mabghudiyya. But the maraja' did not see it fit to make this into a hukum. So there's no hukum like al-basma mustahabba. Right? But we know that Allah loves smiling. And the imams talk about that. And so we say, okay, this is something I can follow. So it's not necessarily part of a hukum. Are you all with me so far? It's okay, right? Okay, I'm going fast, I know, but it's because we don't have much time. So, with akhlaq, it's like this. But this is also demanded of you. For example, if someone is inviting you to the home, you know, you bring them foods, the imams recommend that someone stays over for 3 days, for example, if they want to stay over in the house. The way in which you speak, for example, silence, the imams recommend silence. Silence is not a hukum. Do you see? You see the difference? Silence is not a hukum by which it's mustahab or not, but it's loved by Allah and it helps your akhlaq to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sharia is fiqh and akhlaq. Fiqh, again, I need to just drill this in. Fiqh is man-made for the marja. Okay? Man-made isn't the term that should be used, but just so I can differentiate. The sharia is Allah's. The sharia is Allah, what He sent down. Fiqh is the interpretation of the sharia. Because if the imam was here, he would give you the sharia itself. He would give you the straight sharia. This is what Allah said. But because the imam is not here, we're not masumeen, we don't know, we use the best that we have in our best abilities and knowledge. So you have to go and study for however long, and we're going to cover that next week with marja'iyya on Wednesday, inshallah, and what that means. So fiqh is what we know based on our scholars and their interpretation of Islam. And it's not just anyone. It's the most, you know, pious, the most devout, the most diligent people. So it's not that if you find anyone that has an opinion, differing opinion, like, look, this person has an opinion. Like the people that they say right now that you bring some random Egyptian guy that says hijab is not wajib, for example. Like, wallah, I see them. And these scholars say it. I read it and then it's like on the magazine. And there's five scholars, and no one knows who they are. No one's heard of them. They're not known, not even in history. But then this is about a 1,400-year history. The difference between us and Sunnis is that Sunnis don't even have Bab al-Ijtihad Maftuh. They don't have that, right? We actually have, because we grow with the times. So there's a new thing now, a new invention. What's the hukum on this? We need to know. There's a hukum on almost everything. The akhlaq and the fiqh are supposed to be, in general, in reality, together. The reason why we differentiated them is, again, when the fuqaha were writing these rules down, and the rules are the best way in which you defend yourself, and how the hawza focused so much on the rules, and the fiqh, and the usul, then it's almost as if they're separated. And so you get someone who follows the fiqh so diligently, yet they hurt people. And then you say, al-mu'mineen, look how they are, they hurt people. That's not true. It's not the mu'mineen. Aslan, if they do that, they're not mu'min, because they are sacrificing this part of the religion. So this is why we have to be, when we come to fiqh, academic. It's not about being sensitive and, man, this feels, sometimes things may feel hurtful. And sometimes you might feel impressed. Wow, there's a hukum on this, which I'm going to explain now. Some interesting ahkam that will come up. But the main thing to know is that with the intent, it's both fiqh and akhlaq. They're not complete without the other. This is a muqaddimah to marriage now. Because when we come to marriage, there are rules. And you might feel this is not Islamic, it seems. However, it cannot be separated from the akhlaq. If you look at the fiqh, you would think in marriage, wow, this is kind of brutal the way the man and wife are supposed to be together. That's not how they're supposed to be together. These are the rules which are the last case scenario when you're about to divorce and you have to use these things to keep your rights. But the akhlaq is how the Prophet treated his wife, which wasn't with the rules that we're going to explain right now. Okay? صلى الله على محمد وآل محمد. Yes. So they're both actually rooted. Akhlaq and fiqh, their root is sharia. However, when we come down here, the way we understand them right now, fiqh, man-made, isn't such a great expression, right? So I don't want you guys to use that expression. I'm just trying to make you understand that the fiqh is based on opinions of scholars, which change over time, which they might get wrong over time, which they have sometimes differing opinions. But in the general terms, bil daruriyat al-deen, they are in agreement upon. Fiqh, then, is based on the sharia itself, as akhlaq is. However, akhlaq, we take it more from the life stories of the imams and the Prophet. We take it more from their narrations, for example, that there is no hukum on. The things that are good to do or not good to do, that there isn't necessarily a hukum on this thing. However, you know that this is loved by Allah from the imams and the seerah of the Prophet and the imams and the narrations. So they're supposed to be, they're both based on Sharia. Their root, both of them, is from the Sharia, both of them. It's just that one of them has been made into rules. Rules that are seemed and deemed as more important, that you must adhere to, you know? Whereas here, these things are seen as extras. They're not so important when it comes to the rules. They're actually very important. They are as important. Because this is incomplete without this. But the maraja, it's not their job to make you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's their job to give you the opinions on the fiqh. It's not their job, the marja's job, to, you know, come and give you spiritual advice. It's not the marja's job to give you aqidah. It's wajib on every single person here. It's wajib. It's fiqh, wajib. It's wajib on every single person to follow their beliefs on their own. It's wajib on you to find the answers on your own. It's wajib. You have to. There's no taqleed in aqidah. But there's taqleed in fiqh, because there's so much, such a corpus of knowledge that is incumbent upon each and every one of us, that we must follow someone or do it ourselves. And I don't know if we have an extra 25 years to spare. So someone goes and does it for us. So we owe that person that did it for us. Like, we owe them a lot. They sacrificed what we didn't have to. So that's the fiqh side of things. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Okay.